Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ali. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk.
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Talk podcast. I am Mr. Davis, joined as always by my arch nemesis, Lukewarm Luke Owen.
Hello, Oliver Davis, you big dick. How the devil are you? And a hello to you, Swaff Nation.
Not well, unfortunately. It's my anniversary on Sunday, and me and the lady, thank you, 7 years. People say you get itchy around this time. Little bit uncomfortable. Not this guy. I'm doubling down in the pandemic. I say more snuggles. I say more nights in. But we were meant to have a couple of nights out. We were going to go to Edinburgh for our anniversary.
I was gonna say, are you not going now?
We had a train journey, an overnight train journey. We were going to leave at 11 p.m. on Friday night on a slow train all the way up from London to Edinburgh, and we would arrive there at 7:30 in the morning. What a magical journey. And then we would, you know, get very drunk, enjoy the restaurants, enjoy the cafes, mm-hmm. enjoy the bars, and then come home on Monday. Extra long weekend, little treat nice. For us.
Lovely.
But just like the other treat for us, that 2-week holiday to Vietnam in April that didn't quite happen, thank you, pandemic, Scotland just closed all of its restaurants and bars starting when, Luke? When?
Is it tomorrow?
It's tomorrow. It's the day we were leaving to go up there. Cheers, Nicola Sturgeon. Right. So we're not doing that anymore. We've delayed it all. We're going to go to York instead. But it's...
Okay.
Which will be nice, but... We wanted to go to Edinburgh.
At least you get to go away. I was a bit concerned that you weren't going to get to go away at all, which would have really sucked. Because, like, and yeah, I feel bad, man. Because, like, this is the second trip you've had to cancel this year because of this pandemic.
Back when we liked each other, when we couldn't go to Vietnam, Luke and his lovely wife sent me and my partner a bottle of wine, two bottles of wine, I think, and it was like, if we can't send you to Vietnam, but we can send you booze. We've got that card still up on our little notice board, and it made my partner cry. She found it so sweet on that evening. So, yeah, I'm just letting you know that another trip's been cancelled.
Ed, I mean, you don't even have to send the signals across. I was already, like, the cogs were already turning. I mean, I would do, but I don't like you anymore.
We hate each other, yeah.
Yeah, we hate each other. Can't really do that. I got an email I want to read just before we get into the main part of the podcast. I won't name the person who emailed in, but just said, hello, Luke. I don't know if you noticed yet, but the bonus podcast you released of WrestleMania 30 has already been released previously, so can you change that? No, I will not be releasing another free podcast. Sorry.
People just want the freebies. Well, when did we release that free one?
During lockdown.
Ah.
When I was being very kind and I was releasing lots of free stuff behind the paywall into the free feed to kind of like lift everyone's spirits during the lockdown. And apparently WrestleMania 30 was one of those.
Can we take that first one down? Can we take all of those down?
Yeah. I mean, you'll just have to wait until next year, next year's anniversary, to get a different free episode. So
whoever emailed that one in, I've got an idea for you. Become a Patreon, my friend. Then you'll get access to all of those podcasts.
A solid idea, that, sir. Right, let's get into the main show, because we're going to have a fairly short outro because someone's got to brush their teeth. Here is the show.
Don't tell everyone that. You son of a bitch.
Here is the show.
And we're kicking off with this very peculiar coincidence, maybe, or maybe it's a sign of something larger, and that is the appearances from New Japan Stuff, coincidentally the week after Harold Mage, or Harold May, however you pronounce that name, the current president of New Japan, who will be stepping down. He's announced that he's stepping down next month in November. He was reportedly one of the major blocks in AEW and New Japan working together because, understandably, he felt very slighted by all of his top foreign stars, Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, Cody, leaving and going to form their own American promotion when New Japan had pretensions of wanting to expand into the US themselves. So that's always been what Tanahashi called last year a forbidden door. And the week after he announces his resignation, it would be too much to say New Japan were all over this show, but it's like if WWE just suddenly started saying, hey, here's an interview with Dixie Carter. Here's loads of Impact Wrestling clips. We're all going to go, okay, well, where's the dialogue there going?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I think to say that we are being serious with the title that we have presented would certainly be misreading it, because I mean, we've literally written New Japan to AEW confirmed. It's quite clearly, it's a very tongue-in-cheek title. We're being very, very silly. Being silly. But yeah, it was very, very interesting. As you say, Harold Mage. I've always said Mage, apparently that is likely wrong.
Mage, he's Dutch.
Exactly. Well, that's what I thought. I thought Harold Mage wants a smoke and a pancake. And
Bongo Blitch.
And does not want AEW appearing on his shows. But now he is gone. That forbidden door could creak open. And because it wasn't just Horseshoe Tanahashi appearing on the show, that is a joke that's going to go over the heads of many people if they don't watch Quizzlemania or have seen the clips.
I've took the risk.
And I'm just running with it as well. So yeah, search for it on Wrestle 2. Horseshoe Tanahashi appearing on the show to give his, praise to Chris Jericho. That was amazing. You had both Moxley and Lance Archer talk about their match they had in New Japan, to kind of use that as a stepping stone, setting up their championship match that they've got next week on the anniversary show of Dynamite. And you had Kenny Omega openly referencing the G1 tournament. So there was just, like, as you say, it would be foolish to say that New Japan was all over this show. But, like, as Tempest put up on Twitter, Quizzlemania fact checker put, Kenny Omega lose to the G1 climax and Dynamite. There's three New Japan references tonight. Once is happenstance, twice is coincidence, three times is action. Something has to be coming. And, I think that David Meltzer, that's to give him his full title, has said that it's likely not. It's just, hey, it's just something to pop the marks. It's probably not anything that's actually really going to happen. But if we were to pull this Strowman train into Speculation Station, New Japan to AEW confirmed, wink, wink.
I don't usually feel this with Meltzer, but I'm getting the sense he's in on something that he's not.
Oh, you think letting... he knows?
Yeah, because it is. Look, like I said, if this was 5 years ago and TNA, if the initials TNA were barely referenced by a WWE commentator, or there was one clip in a massive video package that was from Impact, we would all be going, what is going on there? There's definitely a conversation between the two sides. A conversation that up until that point was not happening. So that's a huge shift in sort of relationship storing. And, you know, it comes, like I said, at the same time as its own shift in New Japan, in the sort of power structure that decides the direction of the company and who they do and don't work with. Now, Dave Meltzer, because I was hugely excited when I saw this on Dynamite, I listened to the Wrestling Observer, and Brian Alvarez is like us, and he's saying, look, this is what everyone's talking about, because it's huge, right? This is what we want to happen. This is what we think is best for business. New Japan, AEW, working together, total pandemonium. And Dave Meltzer is just like, yeah, well, you know, Chris Jericho likes Tanahashi. New Japan like Tanahashi. I'm sure they'll let him do that. Jericho produced the show, apparently. This was, you know, it was a 30th anniversary special for Chris Jericho, 30 years in the business, remarkable achievement, huge milestone. And he sort of produced a lot of shout-in segments they've got. We got Kevin Smith. We got Don Callis.
Yeah. His fingerprints were all over those shout-out segments, because it's basically just like musicians that he likes and directors that he has worked with.
Eli Roth, director. Gene Simmons, sort of frontman of Kiss. Lars Ulrich from Metallica. Those sorts of people. So it's exactly, that usual cast of characters. But Meltzer just dismisses it as, yeah, but it's probably just Jericho working, like getting those shout-outs by himself. But then I'm like, you know, I can write that off, because at the start of this year, Jericho had a match against Tanahashi at Wrestle Kingdom, where he put an AEW number one contender shot on the line.
Yeah.
And that was when we were all, and personally, I think that is a much bigger indicator or a tease that something was going to happen, and nothing did. But the thing that made me really peak up attention in this was courtesy of New Japan. Mm-hmm. That means AEW have gone to New Japan, asked if they can use images. This was over the Lance Archer and John Moxley video packages, where they used images from their Wrestle Kingdom match earlier this year too. And New Japan said, yes, use it.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Absolutely. It is. And, you know, there'll be a fee there to use those images, which I'm sure that AEW will be very happy to pay. I am also, you know, I'm perhaps not going to read too much into what is going on, but I do think it is incredibly exciting. I do want to point, there was a chat that just came up then that really caught my eye, which is AEW stole a lot of talent from New Japan. You're idiots if you think New Japan are getting to bed with AEW. I just thought, did they steal, or did they just choose to leave and start their own promotion?
Well,
because they weren't happy in New Japan.
Yeah, but, you know, emotion always overrides logic in those situations. You could, that's how the AEW guys might see it. But I Harold Mage, the New Japan president, and I'm sure a lot of people in New Japan, a very honor-based promotion from a very honor-based society, they see these Yanks leaving New Japan when New Japan helped make their name, and now they've gone over there to start their own thing. I think, yeah, I fully believe New Japan would not want to work with AEW. Look how long the TNA relationship took to repair. It took like Don Callis coming in, because they held grudge. They hold grudges, New Japan. Like but they also honor existing relationships and partnerships. They stuck with Ring of Honor, even though business wise that probably wasn't the most savviest move. So I totally agree with you, person who just commented. Yes, New Japan wouldn't want to work with AEW. They feel like they stole all their talent, which is why it's really huge that they just worked together on two things on this show, the image rights and Tanahashi's video message, because they're not signing off on that if they don't want to, if they feel that like AEW is a threat to be pushed out. And like I said, it comes the week after news breaks that the president is stepping down, the main guy who has apparently stood in the way of this relationship happening.
Absolutely. No, I completely agree with you. And it'd be one thing if it was Toriano. It'd be one thing if it was Yoshihashi. But it's not. It's the ace of New Japan, right? Like, it's a pretty big deal that it was Hiroshi Tanahashi, of all people, that was the one to step forward and be like, hey, Chris Jericho, I think you're ace.
AEW's current champion is New Japan's US champion, John Moxley. I'm excited.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Lockdown has been hard on lots of people, but it's also been tough on, well, you know,
my big hairy balls, Luke.
Yes, your big hairy balls, Ollie.
So let's thank today's sponsor, Manscaped, for providing the best materials to give you the best manscaping experience possible. This could be the greatest ball shaving of all time.
Hygiene is super important in this, the new now. And the Perfect Package Essentials Kit by Manscaped comes with everything you need. High-performance USB rechargeable body trimmers with its advanced skin-safe technology, which is far more impressive than WWE's AI. Are nonsense at their pay-per-views.
It's not just your big hairy balls that need sorting out. You also need to look at your big hairy nails, or your long hairy nails, or your big long nails.
Along with the Perfect Package Kit, you should also order the Shears 2.0, a newly improved luxury four-piece nail kit with stainless steel slashed tipped tweezers, round point scissors, fingernail clippers, and a medium grit nail file.
Enroll in the Peak Hygiene Plan for quarterly replenishments of your favorite products and get 20% off your order using the code WTTV.
There's even free international shipping to the US, Canada, Australia, and Old Blighty United Kingdom. So get 20% off your order at manscaped.com using the promo code WTTB.
That's manscaped.com with the code WTTV for 20% off your order. Your neat and tidy balls. Well, thank you. I'm just trying to find that AEW shout-outs because we've got Patreon shout-outs to do, of course.
Hey, do you
go
know what?
Over there.
It's time to get rowdy for the Patreon shout-outs.
Let's say thank you to our $25 a month or more pledge hammers on Patreon. You get your cheap pops, the jester, Ryan Kester.
Woo. Lovely stuff. Can you do the next one? Because I've not got mine ready yet.
Pledge hammer power hero in a half shell.
Yes, woo!
The man who wears the gold. The man recognized by SWAF Nation International as the 24/7 champion. Ah, legend.
Woo! I've got it now. Send me to heaven, Evan Reich.
Yes. Woo-hoo. Michael Plowman. That's his name. That name again is Michael Plowman.
Here it is. Hey, do you know who's never wrong? Tyler Wright.
Oh, no, he isn't. Yo, Adrian. Rocky.
Hey, and great impression there. Rambo just been announced for Mortal Kombat 11 as a DLC character. So you can do Rambo versus RoboCop. Golden Nick Holden.
Woo! That's my name. Spoke in class today, Jeremy Smith.
Nice. The redneck Dennis Hicks.
Yes. The old codger, dodgy Roger.
Oh, and look at this handsome duo, the power couple, Stephen and Giovanna. Lovely, lovely people who all want to.
No.
Give me a yes, please. Give me a yes, please, everyone.
Of Woo. Course, we've got a. You can get your shout outs and plenty more stuff if you go over to Patreon. We'll have our Wrestle Talk Extra podcast up soon. And you can vote for what we review over there now. But let's see what you guys think in the super chats. Of course, get your super chats in. We will read out every single one of them before the end of the show. Jobber JTJ 496. JT, yep, I said that right. Door needs a bit of a polish before opening. But for me, once this pandemic is over, the door is going to be kicked off and we can all give credit to Jericho.
And I think you could probably, you know, you said then that Don Callis was the man that was rebuilding the relationships between Impact and New Japan in the same way that Marty Scurll was the guy that was rebuilding the bridges between Ring of Honor and New Japan when their relationship, not exactly soured, but certainly was not as strong as it once was. I think Jericho is probably that guy that can be the one to, you know, he's very good friends with Gedo. You know, he is, and you want to talk about someone who's got a position of power, the, you know, in Gedo, if he's friends with Tanahashi and with a lot of the guys that are over there, Red Shoes, Taiga Hitori, you can easily like rebuild these bridges to have a working relationship, even if it is just, you know, a big one-off pay-per-view spectacular, like, you know, just stock full of dream matches.
The story was always that Gedo really wanted to work with AEW. Ibushi wanted to work with AEW. It was management that stopped it from happening. And now Absolutely. Management is changing regimes. Valab Mamadipudi, lads, not a fan of the title thumbnail. There are good signs in the episode for the relationship, but unless Mox walks off with the US title, I'd hold off. But you got to pop the views, I guess.
Tongue in cheek.
It's The fact that New Japan, an entire promotion, can go to AEW. Maybe we misjudged it. We thought that was more of an established joke on the channel. You know, this person to that confirmed. But
yeah.
What? Zach Robinson. Afternoon, gents. If you could bring three people from the current version of Bullet Club to AEW, who would they be? Would you put them straight into a feud with the Elite, or is that a slow burn? I think, yeah, go straight for the jugular. Go straight into an Elite Bullet Club feud. Three people from the current version.
Kenta, JY, Evil. Like, those are your sort of your three big names there. And I suppose you've got, you know, Tamron Tongaloa. I said certainly was a good shout as well. But also, if you bring across Kenta, then you get Taka Michinoku as well. So, you know, that's always a bonus.
Sawyer, ironically, there was a question going into last night how they'd celebrate Jericho's career without access to footage from WWE. And lo and behold, we get all the New Japan instead.
Yeah, very, very nice.
Bacon Rasher, Meltzer to AENJPW confirmed. Also, who other than Jericho really is the GOAT in wrestling? Everything that man had done for me, he's the GOAT. I mean, 30 years, WCW, WWE, New Japan.
ECW,
of course, started AEW. I guess the only gap in sort of having his fingerprints in every part of wrestling is TNA, but he nearly went there at one point.
Yeah, he said he got a really big money offer to go there, but it was AEW put forward a much better deal. But yeah, he was going to appear and it wasn't the first time that he was teased to appear in Impact. He was going to do it, like, you know, 10 plus years ago as well. He is just, he's a guy that's been all over the place. You know, he is been and sort of done it all, really, and has lasted. You know, not everyone lasts 30 years on top, you know, in a way. So yeah, some of his views are not particularly to my taste as a person, but as a professional wrestler, cannot deny he's one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah, the especially like the last couple of years, you know, he'd already had this beloved career, always the sort of guy who was pushed in the main event but never had the company machine behind him really in WWE or WCW. But man, he's just taken that into his own hands, turned into a true entrepreneur, really. The Jericho Cruise, an amazing podcast. Bloody hell. His books are incredible. The guy's phenomenal. Finding Now from Sawyer. Tanahashi appearing last night puts recent lines from Cody, and I think Kenny, using the phrase ace of AEW in an interesting new context.
Now, okay, so we can, I think this is fun to speculate because this is a lot of just business transactions of just securing images from New Japan is just like, can we use these images? New Japan saying, yes, it'll cost you this much. And AEW being like, cool, here is the money for us to do that. Then we put it on our show. Possibly the same with Tanahashi as well, maybe an appearance fee, something along those lines. But it is fun to move into Speculation Station. And I just thought then, because it's not just New Japan, it's Bushiroad, which means you've also got Stardom as well.
Oh, wow. That's very interesting. Didn't even think of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, is that where Rio is?
I think she actually is doing some work at Stardom at the moment. Before we get into the main show, hey, Patreon. Patreon.com/WrestleTalk. When you head on over there, because the poll for the next episode of WrestleTalk Extra is now live. And it's a bit of a doozy. It's a bit of a doozy, guys. New Japan King of Pro Wrestling 2018 is currently leading with 29% of the vote. And behind that, with 24% of the vote, Halloween Havoc 1995 with the monster truck sumo match between Hogan and the Giant.
The
debut of the Yeti. I would absolutely love it to be that. But also, guys, let's not sleep on Heroes of Wrestling is on this list as well. It's got 12% of the vote, but I would absolutely, that is the birth of -5 stars, the worst match Brian Alvarez has ever seen. That would be a heck of a pay-per-view to revisit. There's three corking options there.
What's on King of Wrestling 2018?
I think that was
WWE. Was that what Jericho and no, that couldn't be when Jericho announced it.
Omega, Cody, and Kota Ibushi for the title.
The three-way. I remember that.
Yeah. Yoshida, Mighty Skrull, Evil Zack Sabre Jr., and Fale, Tongaloa, and Ishimori versus Young Bucks, Hangman, and Chase Owens.
I mean, as always with those types of shows, very interesting to revisit in light of the last couple of years of developments in the wrestling industry. But, you know, not one of the big New Japan shows of that era. I'm surprised it's winning. I'm rooting for Halloween Havoc.
That triple threat was really disappointing, if I remember correctly. Like, it was
disappointing. Not really disappointing. It was just really good, as opposed one of the best matches of all time.
And because, like, it was New Japan 2018, so, like, the standard of that company was this is the best wrestling. So when they put on a main event that was, it's all right. Like, you go, well, that's a bit disappointing in the end, really. That wasn't 6 stars. What a load of crap. Only 4 stars. Get out of town. I haven't got time for that. Don't get out of bed for anything less than that.
A lot of the debate and conversation around that time was, well, Ibushi and Omega could have had a great match. God, it's a shame that WWE reject was stinking up the joint Cody Rhodes. What became of that guy? Oh, yeah, he's having one of my favorite matches of the year on this very show. Segue. Let's talk about Dynamite, which opened up with a really cool video package of not those cameo celebrity bookings that were peppered throughout the episode, but current AEW stars, Santana and Ortiz, Jake Hager, you know, the usual Inner Circle people. But then you also had Jungle Boy and Darby Allin paying their respect to Jericho. Jericho was a babyface on this show. And I didn't think that undermined kayfabe.
Not at all, no. It was a celebratory show. It was like the match that was the main event of this show was not the main event of this show. Like that was a dark match that was broadcast on television. It was there for just the fans to see. Like, I mean, JR said during the dog collar match, this is the show's main event, folks. Like,
sorry, Luther.
And I know we've got Big Swole coming up after this, but this is the actual main event of the show, folks. So, you know, do watch this one. But yeah, it was the Luther match was, I mean, we'll get to it. But yeah, I think this was just, it was almost like an out of context thing. And I don't think it didn't hurt the show at all. Not for my money anyway. I thought it was a really nice celebration of 30 years.
I thought it was great. It was almost, yeah, it was like a special episode with huge things, huge developments. I liked the tag match as well, and the TNT title change, folks. That's newsworthy. I'd say that's definitely in continuity. But full marks to AEW for putting on a show like this, you know, 30 years of Chris Jericho. That feels big. That feels themed. Oh, what's next week? It's that anniversary show. It's just like, they are stacking week after week. And like every week, I'm like, wow, that was a good show. Oh my God, it's even better next week, which typically means it won't be as good. But just really good overall planning of things. But the opening match was Will Hobbs versus Brian Cage for the FTW Championship.
This was a beefy boy match. Oh, there was some beef on display here as these two beefy lads beat the beef out of each other.
Yeah, beef that can do standing moonsaults and sliding drop kicks. I really like this match. Went about 10 minutes, I'd say. They gave Will Hobbs a lot. They obviously want to push him a load. Will Hobbs so far has been this guy on the peripherals. This is the biggest match he's had so far, easily. I came out more impressed with Brian Cage, because the guy is insane. But that's no slide on Will Hobbs, but it is a recognition that he's very early on in his career. But this is some good experience for him.
I've got the exact same notes. Brian Cage is insane, but Hobbs is no slouch either. Like that snap power slam that he's got, it's really, really nice. He's got some really, and like his kind of, you know, the kicking out of the F5, the no sells of the German suplexes, he hit the last will and testament for a near fall. And really, like, I thought that was smart that it was Hobbs that beat himself really at the end of the day in this, because he hits the last will and testament and Cage kicks out and he gets frustrated. He doesn't know what to do next. So he goes up top and that's what costs him. It was a complete rookie error and misses the frog splash. So Cage can hit the drill claw for the win. That really protects Hobbs in that loss, because it was one mistake. You know, if he hadn't have done that, who knows where this match could have gone. But it made Cage look awesome as well, because, you know, Cage looked dominating in the victory. He walked out the better man, the smarter man. And that's the help of Team Taz.
Yeah. And Will Hobbs was almost put over more in the post-match when Taz and Ricky Starks, who were on commentary, JR botched Ricky Starks' name on the very first line of the show. But they were both on commentary. Taz stands up after the match and says, "That was really impressive. You impressed the hell out of me. Now I'm going to give you two options. Either you join Team Taz or my boys Cage and Starks there beat the hell out of you." And you know, that's just like it's a recognition that Will is good, and it elevates him even more. He didn't make a decision. I was kind of like, ooh, I wouldn't mind him to join there. But Darby Allin ran down and made the save.
Dude, I was so waiting for Will Hobbs to crack Darby Allin in the skull. Like afterwards, I was kind of like, I was keeping my eye on him to be like, what's he doing next? What's he doing next? I was fully ready for him to just crack him in the skull afterwards.
We got a sort of montage of Chris Jericho shout-outs. We had Slash, Dennis Miller, Bully Ray. I mean, no one's talking about Bully Ray coming to AEW. Because we can recognize what that is. That is just a cameo. But, you know, I do feel like there's potentially more to the New Japan stuff. Ted Irvine, of course, Chris Jericho's dad. And that's when we got the Tanahashi one as well. And then we got the Lance Archer promo on Jon Moxley, which had images courtesy of New Japan. I thought that was really well filmed, just from a production standpoint.
Looked awesome, made Lance look wicked. Yeah, I thought this was a really, really good build for their match next week. I thought Lance came across, and it was smart that it was Lance that was doing the promo as well, not Jake. I thought this came across really, really cool.
After that, we got the next Brush with Greatness, which is already my, you know, I always know now when I'm going to watch Dynamite. I'm going to get to see a really good tag match. Mm-hmm. So it's a great gimmick. And I love, because apparently historically, when Tully Blanchard did this, he would always go to the draw. And then you would build the pay-per-view match when someone would get a no time limit match against them. Of course, mm-hmm. there's a 20-minute time limit here. What I love about how FTR are spinning that is they're not taking those count out victories, because they still win if it's a count out, a time limit draw. That they're still cheating. They're doing everything they can to get the win before then. It makes them even more dastardly.
Yeah, it was really, really good. I also enjoyed the Young Bucks watching on from backstage. Essentially, they were watching with their backs to the screen and looking over their shoulders. Now, a lot of people have said this was them making fun of the way that WWE wrestlers watch TV. Very, very funny gag, although we haven't seen that in quite some time. It feels like a bit of a passé joke to make. I actually initially saw it as they don't want to watch FTR matches. They don't want to be giving FTR that sort of recognition that they're watching them. And so they were watching with their backs, but also, you know, just looking over the shoulder to get a little glimpse of it. But, you know, it was probably them just having a bit of jokes and japes, a bit like this thumbnail and title.
Yes, I didn't mind it. Maybe that's why it worked well. Yeah, I've not been massively into the Young Bucks stuff over the last couple of weeks because they've been super kicking non-wrestling talent. Alex Marvez, JR. I've said my piece on this. I feel like that should be a huge... Shivani. When you assault someone like that, that should be a really big deal. But I feel like it's been played up for humor and laughs. But this was much better. And at the end, they super kicked the camera, which is kind of... And they were quite funny about it. I know they've technically super kicked a camera person there, so it's still just as bad. But I thought it played much better. My problem, but this is nitpicking, is, you know, Marvez is out doing interviews. Shivani's on commentary. They're not selling the kicks.
No, I know. I've not been into the Young Buck stuff since the heel turn. And I actually will agree with something that Meltzer said a couple of weeks ago, and a few people have actually noted. I'm now less into the FTR Young Bucks feud since the Bucks turned heel, because we're getting a heel versus heel match, and like 4 years of build we've been getting to this. Like, why would you do it as a heel versus heel thing at this point? Unless, you know, it's just a way to delay this even further so you get the big Bucks baby face turn and they can then do the match and maybe like All Out next year. Like, if that's the plan, and absolutely, and AEW would give me a lot of like, show me a lot of things to say that I will give them the benefit of the doubt on these sorts of things. But I will say for now, not mad into it.
But this tag match was really good. Hybrid 2 of Jack Evans and Angelico. Unfortunately, in my review today, I just called everyone Angelico, as if Jack Evans wasn't a part of it.
Even though
it was Evans doing the leg selling, which I thought was really good. He sort of did, they did dual dives to FDR at the outside early, and Evans sells his leg, sells the leg throughout, to the extent where, you know, it was definitely a work because the FTR then worked over that leg. It was part of the psychology of the match. But then Angelico gets up to do a sort of the Phoenix Splash thing, but seems to mishit it because of an injured leg.
Yeah.
Which sounds better than it is, because it just came across as a proper botch, because it looked like his foot nearly hit Dax in the face. But ultimately it was Evans's injury that let FTR win.
Yeah. Thought it was a really, really... I mean, this was a great match. Loved it. And it was actually really nice to see Hybrid 2 on TV. We haven't seen them on Dynamite for absolutely ages. I know they've been getting stuff on Dark, but that doesn't really count now, does it?
It elevated Hybrid 2 quite nicely. Then the Young Bucks super kicked the camera afterwards. But then probably the worst thing on the show, for me, maybe some people liked it, was Best Friends coming out to challenge FTR while calling them wieners, which was a gag started last week, and putting a picture on screen of FTR's heads on hot dogs.
Yeah, it's done on purpose. Like, they know it's lame. They know it's a dumb thing to do. And like, the t-shirts are a dumb thing. It's because FTR have been calling them comedy backyard wrestlers. So what they did is they came out and cut a comedy backyard wrestling thing. But like, they're openly acknowledging, hey, look, I know we're just comedy backyard wrestlers doing this. Like, they basically came out and explained the joke to further highlight that it wasn't supposed to be a joke that's taken seriously. I loved this. I thought it was really, really good. I thought it showed a really good character from Best Friends building into all of the stuff that FTR have been saying about them for the last few weeks.
I guess, yeah, it didn't work for me. I'm very into the match. Can't wait to see it next week on the anniversary show. But the wieners, the T-shirts, the Photoshop job, that isn't comedy backyard wrestling. That's lame sports entertainment. So but
I think that's the joke, though.
Okay, well, I thought the target was confused and wrong. I didn't find it funny, but I'm glad you did. We get a MJF talking about Chris Jericho, says he may or may not come out afterwards to celebrate with him personally. More Jericho cameos, DDP, Shaq. DDP had the best camera, by the way, out of everyone. Lars Ulrich, yeah. Gene Simmons. We got Don Callis in there as well, who, you know, was, of course, hugely instrumental in putting together that Jericho Omega match in Wrestle Kingdom. It was his idea.
Yeah, lovely seeing Don Callis on the show. Big, big fan of Don Callis. And it was nice to see Lars Ulrich not shutting down Napster. So, you know, so it's nice. You can have nice things sometimes.
But after that, we had just, I was on the edge of my seat for this entire match. I had goosebumps all over me. I was utterly transfixed from the moment it started. It was Cody versus Brody Lee for the TNT title in a dog collar match.
Holy heckins, this match. This match was fabulous. Absolutely flawless the entire time. Like, oh man, I thought it was great. Like, it was just, there are not enough good things that could be said about this match. I thought both guys worked incredible. I thought they told an amazing story throughout this. The video package beforehand with Arn Anderson talking about how brutal this match is going to be and saying Cody, he doesn't need to just win back the title. He doesn't need to earn the respect of the boys in the back. He needs to earn his own self-respect because he was beaten and made to look like a joke by Brody Lee. Oh, man. And this was just great. And I thought that, you know, I will say a lot of things about Salty JR because I don't think JR is particularly great. But when JR is into something, that is when JR shines. And JR was into this match and into this gimmick, into both guys. I thought this was fantastic.
Every part of this song, you know, from the video package. I love the post-match as well, even though it's an Orange Cassidy Cody match, which I'm not, you know, massively into, but I was so into everything. I got swept up in that as well. The commentators, like you said with JR, but Tony Schiavone as well brought a lot this for me, because one of the genius touches is they had in the stands, socially distanced, Greg the Hammer Valentine. And, you know, I didn't know this before, but one of the famous dog collar matches in history is him versus
Roddy Piper
at the 1983 Starrcade. And Schiavone says that I was doing interviews backstage at that show. I saw them walk out afterwards backstage and they were all beaten up and bruised. This is like quite a unique, uniquely punishing style of match. And they would cut frequently to hammer time to MC Hammer in the audience, also to Greg Valentine in the crowd, who was just like, you know, he wasn't that expressive actually. He didn't really sell much, but it was just like the prestige. It felt bigger than itself. And that's Cody's genius. That, look, he is a very good in-ring wrestler, but he is in a promotion with some of the best wrestlers of all time. And yes, they do outskill him and outperform him in those in-ring parts. But Cody, no one can beat him for presentation and this kind of 80s style story match. I thought this was absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, it was just so, so great. Like, and this match was full on. So full on that they did a package pole driver off the apron through a table spot during the commercial break. Like, that's how full on this match was. I thought it was a stroke of genius.
I love that. I love that. It was picture in picture. So you didn't technically miss it. You know, if it took place in a full ad break where it just came back, I'd be like, ah, oh, that's a waste. But because it happened, you could always see it next to the adverts. It's like, oh, anything can happen at any time. I'm so sick of knowing the exact moment when a Raw tag match is about to go to commercial break because they do the dive outside. This felt real. And that placement was definitely designed for that purpose. Brilliant.
Yeah, the other thing I really loved about this, and commentary were putting this over a heck of a lot as well, and something that I hadn't really considered when they announced the dog collar match, you know, last week, they've been sort of teasing it for the last couple of weeks, is that, like, they were putting over that this is not like your typical strap matches. We've all seen strap matches where you're, you know, you're tied at the wrist, you're tied by the neck. And the amount of times, like, they were using that, like, there was a moment when Cody, like, dragged Brody Lee off the apron into this cutter, like, to the floor. And that was all by doing it to the neck. So then the commentators could put over, like, that's doubly effective because he dragged him by the neck and then hit a move that targets the neck. There was so, so much good stuff in this. Also, Cody got a little blood, got a little color. Brody Lee looked at that and was just like, oh, I'm going to get some more cut. There was so much color in this match that John Silver got color as well.
Yeah.
He wasn't even in the match. And he bled at ringside.
I do love John Silver. He's very funny in Being the Elite. I didn't love his stuff at the start. I just thought it was a bit comedy for it just felt everything else made so much sense. And if I'm hypercritical, although it was entertaining, I think Silver being out there just was a bit of a Being the Elite reference or nod that didn't really need to be made. But yeah, everything else that you talk about, the chains and just that, it was so visceral seeing both men chain like that to their necks. Oh, it's really good. But Brody throws chairs so dangerously.
Yeah, that chair that he threw at Arn Anderson, bloody hell.
So he gets a steel chair, and he just lobs it, like swings it like a frisbee or a, what's the Australian one?
Oh my god, a boomerang.
Not a didgeridoo, a boomerang. Throws it at Arn Anderson like a didgeridoo, and Arn, like, he ducks.
Yeah,
and thank god he did, because that was a shoot throw. Brody was just like, well, I hope he ducks. Otherwise it might kill him. But then that was nice because that let Arn get in the ring. John Silver runs down. We get a classic spine buster off Arn there. And then Brody punches Arn with the chain wrapped around his fist. And that just fires up Cody. And then that built towards what has become my favorite thing in AEW. Brody kicking out at one after someone's finisher.
Yeah, he was so, so great. I think it was Reynolds that came down to take the spine buster.
What Silver did I say? Of course, Silver. Yes, I meant Alex Reynolds, yeah.
Yeah, so it was Alex Reynolds that came down.
It was Angelico.
Yeah, there was just so, so much good stuff in this. To kind of put over the Silver stuff that they did at the start, while I do think that maybe it may gonna like, once it, I think putting him into the chair was maybe a step too far, I thought it was actually quite effective for Silver to be the first guy that got blood, because it was one of the first things that happened in the match was Cody hit him using the chain and he comes up bleeding to put over like the dangers of this chain. So I thought that aspect of it was actually quite good. But you're right. Like, I do agree. I think that the chair spot afterwards was maybe a bit too much, particularly like Anna Jay then coming down to make the save for him. But I loved, like, oh man, I loved Reynolds taking the double A spine buster and then getting taken out by Lee. Lee kicking out at one, kicking out of the crossroads. And then eventually, like, it was Cody had to, like, he wrapped the chain around his fist, battering the absolute hell out of him. It was the only way to put him down with that second crossroads for the win. I thought it was a fabulous finish to a fabulous match. Flawless. 5 effing stars.
Whoa.
Loved
it. Give
it
the big 5.
Yeah, and I don't even do star ratings. So nice. That's how big it was.
You know, but weirdly, my big thought coming, because that he goes straight from that, Brody is quickly taken away from by the Dark Order. There was no really follow-up angle there, which I think's right. You know, you give the heat there to Cody. And Cody cuts this beautiful promo. His voice cracks, sounds very emotional. He's like, I love being here in front of live wrestling fans, because, you know, this, he's been able to perform to a partial crowd. And he's so genuine, such a baby face. He says, look, I've got dark hair, but I'm going to stay with you, effectively saying I'm not turning heel, which typically means you're going to turn heel next week. But it was It was really great from top to bottom. Then Orange Cassidy walks out to challenge him for next week, and they did the thumbs up in agreement. Just top to bottom, lovely stuff. Now, a lot of people have said, taking the title off of Brody. Cody pushing himself again. So Brody got a, what was that, like 5-6 week reign?
Yeah, he had 2 defenses of the title, yeah.
Which is probably the same length as Cody's initial run. And yeah, the first 2-time ever TNT title is also the guy who had it just, you know, a month ago. I can see why people would be upset. But I didn't mind it at all. I thought this was, I don't think Brody lost anything. I feel like everyone came out of this more over than when they entered.
I completely agree with you. Like, there's a part of me that wanted to see Brody have more of a longer run with the belt, just because I'm so, like, when Brody came out for the match, I was like, I love this guy. Like, I love watching this guy wrestle. He's one of my favorites in AEW at the moment. And I wanted to see him retain. But also, because of the story they've told, I wanted to see Cody get his revenge. I wanted to see Cody win the belt back. And Lee winning the belt and then losing it a few weeks later did way more for him in terms of, you know, the character and sort of presentation within the company than if he had just done a load of squash matches. Like, just winning the belt and losing it 5 weeks later, I think it's done like huge amounts for his stock in AEW. I think it did more for him than the Moxley match did. Like, I thought this was really, really great. Like, to echo you, I think everyone is more over now than when this feud first started. And that is the aim. That's always the aim of anything.
I personally don't know where the Dark Order go from here, but I have faith in AEW. I think they've done Brody very, very good since he came in.
The one other thing I just want to say about this one is that I'm also with a lot of people that I'm not massively into the fact that it's Orange Cassidy again. Mm. Like, I think the Orange Cassidy match would be good if Brody Lee hadn't beaten him 2 weeks ago. Like, if it was going to be Cassidy getting the first shot at Cody, don't beat him. Like, just don't beat him 2 weeks ago, because it just, like, what was the point? What was the point of Brody beating him if he's just going to walk into another title shot? Like, that, I think, is a bit rubbish.
After that, we got a announcement that Wardlow, Colt Cabana, and Hangman Page are going to be in the number one contenders tournament. And it cuts to Kenny Omega, who cut like a pure on cleaner style promo. He wasn't overly heel, but the delivery. And this was the first time in AEW where I've been like, man, Kenny Omega is a fantastic anime promo, because he's a great actor. We've seen him do all those realistic sit down spots with Hangman Page, but it's not pro wrestling, is it? It's just him being real, acting based on stuff that's happening around him in a very naturalistic way. This was, for the first time in AEW, Kenny is a pro wrestler promo, and I loved it.
I loved that he kept calling Hangman Page tag team wrestler Hangman Page. Oh, it was lovely. What a lovely little touch that was. He's like, yeah, you got some really, really great stuff. You've even got tag team wrestler Hangman Adam Page in this tournament. I thought it was so great.
You've got to think that they're going for a collision at the end of this tournament, surely. But I wouldn't be surprised if AEW string this out further. One of them costs it before they get to the finals. Hangman Page issued a statement. Here it is on social media. It says, for release as soon as they say it on Dynamite. And it's about Hangman Page being announced. And it's just, after deep contemplation, about half a bottle of scotch, scratch bourbon whiskey, and chucking a dozen watermelons at a red oak out the back of a pickup, Hangman Adam Page has decided to enter the single elimination. He's very good. I don't know. He's a very naturally funny guy. I always used to think it was the rest of the Elite writing stuff for him, but this has got to be him.
Yeah, I thought it was really, really good. Like, he's very, very funny on the old Twitter machine. Yeah. And sort of unlike Retribution, it is a Twitter character that plays into his on-screen persona. So that's always very nice. The two do mix.
We got Big Swole taking on Serena Deeb next in a... I actually quite enjoyed this match. It was very technical at the start, got hard hitting. They screwed up a few times, but I didn't mind it. I thought the commentators put more focus on the match as opposed to pushing other things on the show like they've done in the past. Ultimately, it's the same usual women's segment just before the main event. Picture-in-picture outbreak taking up most of it. Yeah, that's what it was.
It was, I've got three notes. Good luck following that. Decent action. Swole wins.
And then the main event was Chris Jericho and Jake Hager taking on the Chaos Project of Luther and Serpentico, which was... There was so much goodwill towards Jericho, I think. Like, I don't mind this match, but it was weirdly on this 30th anniversary show for Chris Jericho, a match to get Luther over. And I think that means a lot to Jericho. Well, it was definitely designed that way. He got most of the offense. He got all the high spots. And yeah, he took the loss at the end, but I feel like this was Jericho trying to showcase his best mate, or at least like give one of his very good friends a big main event thing. I wasn't that into it. I just sort of watched it as a throwaway exhibition match, really. Had no business being the main event. Other than that, it was Jericho's show.
Luther got so blown up. Like, I mean, basically as the match started, he was just so blown up, so gassed. He was sucking wind towards the end of that match. Like when he caught the bat and then, you know, did the spot and he like did the boot and everything, could barely get his leg up. I felt bad for him, really. I'm going to put my cards out on the table here. This match only happened because they couldn't get Lance Storm. I think that in Jericho's ideal world, it would have been Lance. But, you know, Luther's there. They do have a 30-year history together. They actually had a really wicked video package for this that they did on Twitter that I wish they'd put on TV to kind of explain their history and kind of like make a bit more sense of this match. But actually, I thought the match was a bit pants and a bit rubbish. And as I said, like, but you know what? Doesn't matter. It was a dark match that we got to see aired on television. The actual quality of the match didn't really matter. It wasn't about the quality. It wasn't designed to be a good match. It wasn't supposed to be a good match. It was just there to be like, look at Jericho. He's been doing it for 30 years. Here's a guy that, you know, has also had matches with him 30 years ago. Isn't that a very nice thing? Jericho wins, and then everyone can come out and do a little bit of a celebration with him afterwards. Very, very lovely. The one thing I will say about this that I thought was very nice is Serpentico on Twitter a couple of weeks ago, maybe it was even last week. In fact, it was last week, posted up that when the pandemic started, when the COVID era of wrestling started, he was going to quit wrestling because he realized I'm not going to get any more bookings. So he talked to friends and he told everyone, and he told those close friends, I'm going to quit wrestling. And they told him not to. They told him to keep going. And through some hard work and doing a lot of stuff on Dynamite, a lot of stuff on Dark, doing stuff with AW, he got to be in the main event of an episode of Dynamite, tagging with his new best friend Luther against Chris Jericho. That's quite nice, really. Like, good on that lad. And I thought he was actually really good in this match. I quite liked Serpentico. I think his entrance is cool.
Yeah, the spider web. Pow.
Yeah, yeah.
Go, web,
yeah.
Go. After the match, I thought we're in store for a big sort of, you know, this is Jericho's way. He always caps his big storytelling arcs with these celebration segments, which turn serious at the end. Thinking Festival of Friendship, you know, is the classic one. So MJF comes down, interrupts Jericho's babyface promo to the crowd to say, hey, I'm MJF, I've got you some gifts. And it's a guy dressed up as a clown, and it's a present, which is actually a big framed picture of MJF. Jericho looks at it and says, I hate clowns. And he smashes the painting of the picture over the clown's head, hits him with the Judas effect. And then it looks like they're going to have a moment. I was like, okay, here's the next step. I think that's too early in this story, but okay, here we go. It's going to be MJF versus Jericho. And then they just laughed it off and celebrated together. And this very funny spot at the end where the credits rolled SNL style and every credit was Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
So just, I don't know if this is the case, but of course it was the vice president's debate last night. And apparently that might be one of the reasons the main event, the dog collar match, took place in the middle of the show, because they preempted this. This was just going to be a throwaway thing at the end. But yeah, it was a show that massively peaked in the middle for me, but with a fantastic match, one of the best of the year. But then afterwards, it significantly fell down into quite an average show. So I gave it 4 out of 5 overall.
I think that's fair. Like, I think the the dog collar match completely elevated the show. But like, I think the show was always going to struggle to top that, to be honest. Like, and it was, you were always going to struggle to top that with Swole versus Serena Deeb in a women's division that they don't particularly care about, and a tag team main event with Luther and Serpentico, who've only ever been on Dark. Like, you were always going to struggle to that. But I thought the first hour was so, so great. And the dog collar match was absolutely terrific, that I would also give this show a 4 out of 5. We did get a tweet from someone as well that said that you really do need to sort out your rating system. it's so flawed and it doesn't make any sense. But I like I said on the Raw episode, I think it's perfect, mate. I think you've absolutely nailed it.
No worries. I'm not going to do that personally. We have a lot of super chats to get through, so let's speed through these. Thank you, everyone, for getting them in. Of course, keep getting them in. We'll read out every single one before the end of the show. Raul Leva, the final day of G1 will reveal so much. Stay tuned. Ace to AEW confirmed, lol. Maybe. Invoke Dragon, you fool. It's not New Japan to AEW. It's AEW to New Japan.
Of course. How could we not see it?
Gabriel Caruso, how sick would it be? Sick! If the next Casino Battle Royale Joker is a Carder and goes to face, I don't know, Kenny Omega at All Out.
Hey, I'd be in for it.
Yeah, that would be sick.
I mean, if a Carder shows up on Dark, like, I would mark out.
Do you, from Amro, do you guys think Brody should get a rematch?
If he, certainly, if I think that you could certainly work into a storyline where you do Brody Cody 3, but I felt like this was almost the blow off to it, really, because you know Cody got the win. So I think to do another match might stretch this out longer than it may need to. Depends on how they take the story, I guess.
Natess was a little disappointed when Orange Cassidy came out to challenge Cody. He just lost to Brody. Wanted Cody to give it to Dustin next week for the anniversary. I like that.
That's what I thought they were going to do, because like Dustin was in the ring. I totally thought that's what they were going to do, Nate S. I'm completely with you. I think that would have been a much, much better match.
El Fermentado, JR commentary takes me out in part of the show, and English is not my first language. I love Brody versus Cody, and that John Silver spot was funny as hell.
Certainly was.
Black Adam, I usually can't get into Cody matches because they're overbooked to all hell. I think they're booked just enough. But this was most more palatable. If the camera cuts, you know Cody's blading, lol.
I mean, look, if Cody's going into a title match, you know he's blading. You can basically put a timer on it. I'm going to agree with you. I don't think they're overbooked. They're just perfectly booked.
DC Darwin, usually agree with you, but that collar match bored me. And I enjoy Cody's 80s shenanigans. Just did nothing for me. I found my new unpopular opinion.
Hey, well, everyone's entitled to them.
Connor Shaw, I definitely wanted Cody to announce he will be facing Dustin Rhodes next week instead of Orange Cassidy. Yeah, I think we're all on that bandwagon. Eric Martinez, I didn't mind Brody dropping the title. He feels bigger than the TNT title. I'd love to see him do more manager work for the Dark Order and only show up for big money main event matches.
I mean, you're absolutely right, but also like from a selfish fan point of view, I just want to see him on TV every week because I love him.
Dried chicken without flavor. Ugh. Hopefully we see a Cody versus JTG match for the TNT Championship on Dynamite.
Yeah, I know JTG was pushing for it on social media. I think that'd be a massive, massive good. That'd be a great call for them. On the subject of Hangman Omega and the title tournament, really love that they are playing Kenny and Hangman like ex-boyfriends who can't move on and are desperate to. It's my favorite part of every show. Yeah, it's still my favorite storyline in AEW. It really is. Hello, says Idea. Hangman and Kenny finally talk in ring. Hangman says that he was winning tag matches, not Kenny. Kenny can't take not being the best. Snaps V-trigger, Hangman 7 times, then One Winged Angel into a chair for the Wrestle Kingdom 12 to do a full heel turn.
I think this feud is too subtle to climax in a in-ring back and forth promo thing. That feels quite sports entertainment-y and artificial.
Dry Chicken Without Flavor says, I feel like the lyrics to Judas can relate to Adam Page for his past actions towards the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, Private Party, and FTR. You are beautiful on the inside. The Jam one, Ryan B. Jam. First round matches in the tournament should be Omega versus Colt, Wardlow versus Jungle Boy, Page versus Phoenix, and then the final two spots go to Miro and Pac. Speaking of Miro, I tagged you in this on Twitter earlier, but I don't know if you saw. Thanks to Denise Salcedo, it's been revealed. Rusev is a Swiftie. Oh, Miro bloody loves Taylor Swift.
Big Swiftie fan. He was, I thought we were going to get a follow-up to the bachelor party thing on this week's episode, but we didn't. It was just them playing video games in the crowd, which I thought was I thought that was a rare, lazy follow-up. I don't know changed.
Maybe it's not the follow-up.
But they insinuated that it was next week. I don't know.
I don't know if they did insinuate it was next week. Maybe that's that's on you. Dynamic Penguin. Great show. Look forward to watching this stream after work. Wild card prediction. Brody takes Colt's place in the tournament as retribution for All Out. Dynamic Penguin, you brilliant, brilliant bastard. Love that.
Ah, and then because Hangman Page has a bit of Dark Order history, Page has to beat Brody. Yes. Very, very good.
Love that. Augustine, so basically if that doesn't happen now, the tournament's pointless. Augustine Dietrez, Young Bucks are acting heel to cost Hangman Page his match to advance in the contendership for the AEW Championship, just like Hangman cost them their match. I think you can do that without turning them full heel, though. Like, I've seen some people say, like, well, they've got to turn heel because they want it to be Bullet Club Young Bucks. I just don't think it's the time to be doing this. I think in this point, you want to be doing pure babyface Bucks versus pure heel FTR. Jose Quinde, what if Tanahashi is the eighth man in the tournament?
I think it's, that wouldn't happen. It can't happen.
Do you want to carry on?
That's me. The Zornis, only heels came out in the end to celebrate Y2J. I love that. I was just like, meow, 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 meow. We're all bad guys. Abnahav Tirumala, there should be a War of the Worlds type show. I do, maybe that's what we're building towards, an AEW New Japan pay-per-view next year. But you'd really want live crowds for that. Can't give that away in this era. Max Anon, I thought it was an Avengers reference, but since it's JR, I don't know. From Stan Lee saying to Mr. Stanks.
Yeah, no, 100% was just JR getting it wrong.
Zach Robinson, admittedly not watched AEW for a little while now, but I always hear the women's division is their Achilles heel. Without bringing in new talent, what do you think they need to do to improve the impression of the division?
Take it seriously.
Storylines. Proper feud storylines. Every other division on the show has really meaty characters that are paid attention to, arcs, and real feuds. In the women's division, it is just embarrassing how that is not a thing. And it hasn't been a thing for a year. Nate S., excellent selling by Clownico.
Indeed.
Which is the name of that, the clown. Anthony Pride, Tony Khan wanted this match more than Jericho. Apparently that might be a reference to the main event with Luther.
Yeah, I think it was very much a Jericho thing. Like Jericho said, like ever since Luther came in, that he was like Jericho was the guy that brought him into the company.
Karen Mitcherandi, while I get what Luke is saying about the weenie joke being on purpose, acknowledging something is bad doesn't necessarily make it good or funny. I'm excited for the match, though.
Ah, it's not that they're not saying it's not trying to be bad to be funny. It wasn't supposed to be funny. They were making fun of the fact that they were calling them comedy wrestlers.
Yeah. Charlie Davis, another note.
I will admit that I don't think it landed.
Charlie Davis, another note, Mox's promo on Archer was incredible. We didn't talk about that. We forgot about it. It was really, really good. This great line at the end, because he's doing it all from a bar. And he says, what is it you always say, Lance? Everybody dies. And he does the shot. Yeah. Oh, fantastic.
So great.
Bacon Rasher. Hi, lads. Seriously, someone needs to tape Vince to a chair, hold his eyes open, or use matchsticks and make him watch AEW. Also, can Mr. Davis try again versus Lukewarm in an AEW New Japan mock draft? That'd be fun.
I saw some people say that we should do like an AEW version of the draft that we did, because I thoroughly enjoyed doing that. It was a really, really fun show. Also, Bacon Rasher, while I appreciate we should get Vince to watch it, I don't think it would make a blind bit of difference, because it's not the sort of wrestling that Vince likes, because Vince doesn't like wrestling.
Rangers Mayhem. Did you notice they showed the NXT fan that wears the Everton jersey twice in the crowd during the Cody promo sent a photo to Luke on Twitter?
Yes, that always he's always in the crowd for NXT shows, like front row. He's like the NXT guy. That is because he lives in Florida.
Infection. Miguel 8A, even he's though been, the main event...
He's been at a lot of AEW shows in the past.
Miguel 8A, even though the main event was not the greatest, it really made me start digging Serpentico. I hope to see more of him on Dynamite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same here. I thought it was really cool.
Charles Berg, back for more boys. Retribution Names Part 5. Here you go. You ready? Boomer. Compact. Dookie. Punch Fist. Fork. Angel. Cleaver. Peeping Tom. Dangle. And of course, Chode.
I did like Punch Fist, but it's never going to be as good as Spunk. Like, that's it's the best one. Shall I do these last few?
Yeah.
Tyler Woodward says, my last super chat for a while. Just wanted to say thank you for all the content you create. Got me through a lot during lockdown. Jam that jam. Love you all. We love you, Tyler. Absolutely. Thank you to Eric for your donation. Nate says, bigger moment for you, Ollie, your brother Cody winning back the title or when you won the championship?
As much as I love Cody and he is my brother, I'm a selfish son of a bitch. So it would be when I was the inaugural champion and I will win it back.
It's spelled right here.
I'm undefeated, I feel. I wasn't there to defend it properly.
Juan Villa, did you guys see the stare down between Jake and Wardlow?
Yeah, so in the celebration at the end, they were just death staring each other. Very nice touch.
Zachary Jenkins, what are your top three AEW themes when a Sammy, Cody and Jericho? I think Kenny's theme's an absolute banger. I think that's a great one.
I like the Bucks as well. But yeah, definitely Cody and Jericho are the best.
Mm-hmm. Shannon Smith, I think the Bucks angle is just undermining FTR wins to make them mad for the feud. Yeah, no, I think that's like the Bucks are very much, they're not acknowledging FTR, which is just making FTR madder. Like I kind of dig some of that. And lastly, dry chicken without flavor. I've got Jay White versus Sanada in the G1 Climax Finals with Jay White winning.
I don't know if that's a big enough match because you've got to think they're main eventing the Tokyo Dome.
And lastly, so we just had this one come in from Abnahav said, Jeff Cobb finish sucks. Do you agree? I hate it. I haven't seen this yet. Is this from the G1 today?
Oh, maybe. I just thought you meant the, what is it, Tour of the Islands. I love that move.
I was going to say that move's great.
Yeah. No, I haven't seen it. But well, we'll let you know.
Oliver Davis, Mr. Davis, you'll be so pleased to know we have got two misheard lyric submissions.
This is it. It's gathering steam now. It's got some momentum.
It is. We're finally getting there. And actually, this first one that comes in from Alex Kirkman is one that I've also had and I never really known. It's the, it says, R-Eed lads, here's one for Ollie. I thought the chorus of The Signed Wider Sleeps Tonight by R.E.M. says, call me Jamaica. Garbage, but actually it's call me when you try to wake her up.
What the hell? What? There's way too many dropped syllables there for that to work.
Call me when you try to wake her up. Yeah, maybe.
Can we listen to some? How can we play these tracks briefly enough so they're not, it doesn't get us demonetized or copyright.
Well, it won't get us demonetized. It won't on podcasts because it's the land of the lawless out in the podcast world. I've been playing all sorts of clips and whatnot on my other podcast.
Wild West it is. What R.E.M. song is it?
The Signed Wider Sleeps Tonight. Genuinely, I thought that's what the lyrics to that song were something about Jamaica. I'm not the biggest R.E.M. fan, I will be honest.
I'm just getting a lot of The Lion Sleeps Tonight. R.E.M. What's the name of the song? Sidewinders.
The Sidewinder Sleeps Tonight, yes.
Sidewinder. Got it. It's off of Automatic for the People. So, there's a really good new series on Netflix. I can't remember if I spoke about it on here, called Song Exploder, where it's like a half hour long episode and they take a different song and they just dive really deep into it, have interviews with people. Hamilton was the wait for it was the one I watched. It was very interesting. Okay, so this is the actual song.
So go to about 2 minutes one, I think. Oh,
2 minutes one.
Okay. About 2 minute one, I think you might find it.
That is quite quickly. Coming to Jamaica.
That's what I thought. Right,
coming
okay.
to Jamaica.
Yeah, no, according to this, it is call me when you try to wake her up.
Okay, right. I'm gonna try and sing it along mm-hmm. with call me when you wake her up.
Call me when you try to wake her up.
Oh my god, that's even more like call me when you try to wake her up.
Yes, correct.
Call me when you try to make her up. Call me when you try to make her up. I don't know. It's just drunk Irish singing at that point. What else?
Anyway, thank you very much for that one there. Here's one we've got from Devon, who says, "How's it, guys? To my understanding, none of you have kids, so I'm going to assume that you have not. That if you've seen the original Trolls movie, it would have been once, because it's truly draining. Anyway, I've got two wrong lyric submissions from that movie alone.
I love that. It is truly draining. I get that for Raw sometimes.
Yeah. First, Justin Timberlake's Can't Stop the Feeling featured in the movie. I'll write out the lyrics and in parentheses write the correct lyrics, and these are all before the first chorus, just to get you that point. So he said,
can I play it first?
Yes, please. Yeah, so Justin Timberlake's Can't Stop the Feeling.
I mean, I could just sing this for you. Can't stop the feeling. Dance, 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 and got the feeling. But let's listen to JT do it.
Mm-hmm.
We've all heard this one.
I think so.
I feel like I'm the DJ at a club. I'm just going to talk over the start of the song.
Oh, here it goes. Okay, so that's your first one.
Okay.
Okay, so
I've got this feeling inside my bones.
Yes, well, Devin thought it was, I got this feeling inside my soul, and then it goes electric, baby, when I turn it on. Actually, as you pointed out there, it's I got this feeling inside my bones. It goes electric wavy when I turn it on.
Let's hear what JT has to say. I got this feeling inside my bones. Quite clearly bones.
Yeah, okay, what's the next one? It goes electric wavy when I turn it on. Now that one I do think sounds like baby.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I'm hearing wavy.
Oh really? Oh, I heard baby there. I had baby. But that first lyric is 100% bones. Quite mm-hmm. clearly, that is bones. His second song lyric is from Earth, Wind & Fire's September. It's the very first line, and I sing it wrong every single time. So can you get that one up as well? Get that up.
I'm scribbling away. God, you're not very good at the openings of songs.
Devon.
Caught by surprise that a new track started playing. You're not concentrating. All right. So I'm just going to press play.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're on this.
I feel like I'm at a wedding. Luke and Ollie coming in your ears. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Here it comes. So it is. Okay, so
can I say what I heard?
Yes, what did you hear?
Do you remember the very first night in September?
Boom. That is exactly what Devin thought it was as well. Do you remember the very first night of September? Apparently, it's do you remember the 21st night of September?
There can't be that many. Oh, I guess no, there would be that many nights in September.
Yeah, there are 30 days in September, and therefore 30 nights as well.
I just assumed it was a weekend.
Hmm. Yeah.
Let's listen to that back again.
One more
long
time.
Intro. I'll try and skip the intro.
Everyone up.
I'm hearing it now. I'm hearing 21st night.
Hearing it now. Yeah.
That's on us. I think there's some songs like the REM one, which is incomprehensible. But these ones are just me not paying attention.
Yeah, so please get more of those in. I think one of the most famous ones is the Jimi Hendrix song, Excuse Me While I Kiss the Sky. A lot of people at my school used to think it was Excuse Me While I Kiss This Guy.
It was the 60s.
It was the 60s, man. Could have been.
Woodstock, baby. Let me eat this guitar and kiss this guy.
And if you will excuse me while I just go kiss this guy.
He's so polite about it. Infamous Hellraiser Jimi Hendrix. Sorry, excuse me. I just want to kiss this man.
You don't mind.
What's the name of that song?
That is... Oh, it's Purple Haze. Purple Haze. Yeah.
Oh, Hazer, I've spelled it.
Better just give voices. Here it comes.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's my new favorite thing. All right, we've got to go because as Luke did give away my private information, it's just one of those days at home, working from home, and it's nearly 3 o'clock and I haven't cleaned my teeth. And I just can't deal with it.
Carpet mouth. Oh, it's the worst. Anyway, you go and do that. In fact, you go and leave now. I'll do the outro. Thank you all so much for listening. Go and check out the NXT podcast with Laurie and Adam because they're doing great work over there. And I'll be back tomorrow with Denise Salcedo, Wrestling Observer's Denise Salcedo for the magazine show. And hey, Randy Andy Datson and Pete Quinnell will be doing the SmackDown review on Saturday. Take care, everyone. Love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.